sing, I choose to praise. And I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of your name. And nothing can stand against, and I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of your name. Oh, and nothing can stand against.
We're going to teach y'all a new song this morning. But before, I wanted to read a scripture out of Revelation 4. It says, and the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, full of eyes all around and within, and day and night, they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Then you skip down to verse 10. It says, they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. This morning, we get the opportunity to join with all of heaven and join with those angels and sing holy, holy, holy. Because let me tell you something. We got a reason to praise this morning. We've got a reason to praise. We've got a reason to sing holy, holy, holy. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Man, it's for freedom. Because he set me free. He changed my heart. That's why I stand up here and I sing and I smile. Not because I'm just like juiced out on Red Bull or something. But man, because the Lord has so changed my heart. And every time I worship, I sit there and I just think about and remember where I was. And now where I get to be. So man, this morning, it's not hard. So after you pick it up, man, sing along with us. Because there's power in his name. We have a reason to praise. And we can declare the name of Jesus and see things changed. So once you get hold of it, come on, sing it with us.
Stronger than all.
this morning, the Lord's going to set some of you free. Chains are falling off. Because He paid the price.
Oh, the prodigals are coming home. They're coming home. All we have to do is speak Your name.
Oh, God's still alive and well. God never caught corona. Just didn't catch it. He didn't catch the depression either. And so, I just want you to hear this before we end our worship, okay?
God really put it on my heart to share this morning. Middle of worship, he just started speaking to me about a dream that he gave me years and years and years ago when I was not following him. At age 12, I received the Lord, but I asked him to be my Lord, but I walked away from him. I never made him Lord. There's a big difference of saying, God, I want you as my Lord, and actually saying, you are my Lord, and I'm following you. And that's something that I did at 12, but I didn't follow him, and I went my own way. So around, 20 years ago, I guess, I was in my own way, and I was battling back and forth, bars one weekend, church the next, and battling. But God never, ever, ever left me. Never. He pursued me. He pursued me. And one night he gave me a dream. And I was in the bed with, I could feel this disgust over me. I was in the bed with someone. And it was the enemy. And I knew it. And it was horrible. And an angel showed up in the corner of the room and told me, if you'll just speak the name of Jesus. And I said, I can't. I said, there's no way I can, because he's here and he's going to get me if I try. He's going to get me, and I can't. I was scared. I was in a place where I felt trapped. And she said, no, speak the name of Jesus. Just do it. And so I did. And when I said, Jesus, this monster, this hideous monster, stubborn, rah, just looked at me. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And they said, the angel said, do it again. Speak his name. Jesus. And again, he just roared. And I'm like, but I knew that he couldn't touch me. And the angel said, see, you're safe. Just keep speaking his name. He may roar at you, but he cannot have you. And he never has since then. Praise God. He delivered me from alcoholism and every addiction and the fear and all these things. And every time he comes back and tries to mess with me, I speak the name of Jesus even now.
Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap for that. I want us right now, I want you to lift your hands. I want us just to declare. I feel like this is important right now. We just need to declare how great our God is. And I want you to sing this. You know the song, but I want you to declare it over yourself and over this city and everything.
is our God. Oh, we'll see how great and how great. We can stand and sing how great is our God in confidence, knowing that we serve a God who still saves, who still delivers, who still sets free. God, we thank you and we say you are great. Holy are you. Worthy are you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen, amen. Come on. Come on. It's good to see you guys this morning. How y'all doing this morning? Everybody doing good? I can tell you right now, the Spirit was at work early this morning. When I woke up, heard my alarm go off, and I slid up on my phone and swiped right to check the weather, and it said 47 degrees. I said, man, it's going to be a good Sunday morning. The Spirit's at work already. Gah. I stepped outside, and I just confirmed it. Just right there, confirmation. Don't you love when the Holy Spirit just confirms himself? Glory to God. But, as you can tell, I'm pretty excited that it's cooled down because it just makes me feel better. I went bike riding for about an hour yesterday. I don't think I sweated at all. Or sweat, whatever it is. Whatever the past stands for sweat, I didn't do it. All right? But, man, it's a good morning to be here at Resurrection Life. As you can tell, man, we do not take ourselves too seriously. And we ask you not to take yourself too seriously either, because God's he's a joyful God, all right? And he likes, just like that, man, that's good stuff right there. But we have a very special group of people with us this morning. It is all of our first-time visitors. So come on, give it up for them this morning. That's right. We are so glad and so happy you decided to join us this morning. And I'm not just saying that because our pastor said, hey, Elisha, you do middle service. Be sure you tell them we're glad that they're here this morning. That's not why I'm saying it. I'm saying it because we genuinely mean it. We are so happy that, and we're privileged that you decided to join us this morning at Resurrection Life. And I just need you to do one thing for me before you leave today. Walk out of those double doors, one of these sets of the three double doors, and go to the little sign that says Visitor's Kiosk, and there's going to be a person behind the Visitor's Kiosk right there to hand you a gift and a little card, just so we can have record of your visit and a little bit more information on you. It's nothing too personal, so don't worry. But we got a gift to give you just to thank you for coming. So one more time, church family, give it up for our first-time visitors. Come on, now it's time for the RLM.
Hey, church. Reminder that we're going to have our fall semester continuing education unit sessions this month. For your convenience, you can choose one of the dates. The first date will be Saturday, October 23rd at 10 a.m. and the second date will be Thursday, October 28th at 6:30 p.m. Both sessions will be in the Children's Auditorium. And reminder, this is, you can attend one or the other. You don't have to attend both. We'll have two topics. The first one will be a spiritual topic by Dr. Dan Finley, and then the second one will be a practical topic facilitated by me. There will be no child care available, and light refreshments will be served. Please RSVP online or in the foyer. See you then.
What's up, church? We are so excited about the Fall Festival coming up on Saturday, October the 30th from 5 to 7 p.m. at Crosby Commons. We need volunteers and candy. So if you'd like to volunteer, you can see Missy Lee, and if you would like to donate some candy, you can do so by dropping it at the drop box in the foyer.
What's up, young adults, all 18 to 25-year-olds? We have got something special coming up. It's our annual Pursuit Project Winter Retreat in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, December 13th
through the 17th, and the cost is only $250, and that covers everything. All right, so today you need to turn in your $75 deposit to secure your spot. We're going to encounter Jesus, hang out in the cabin, and go explore Gatlinburg. So secure your spot today. If you have any other questions, go see Josh or Kaylee here.
And these six, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them out to do by two. And he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Let me just stop right here. God did not pray for a harvest. He said, it's already there. We just need to go. That's free. That's nothing to do with what I'm talking about. Go your way by sending you out as lambs and wool, bulls carrying no money, knapsacks, sandals, and bring no one along the way. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to that house. If it's a son of peace, therefore peace will rest on it. And remain in that house, eating and drinking to such as they give you, for the labor is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter, therefore they receive you, eat such things as they give you, and heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come here. Then the 70 returned, verse 17. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us at your name. And he said, now I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. You got to be Pentecostal when you read that verse. I saw Satan. But behold, I give you authority. Everybody say authority.
Authority.
To trample serpents and scorpions. Look at it. This is metaphorical. Do not go out and try to mess with the scorpions. This is metaphorical, this part. Over all the power of the enemy, nothing shall by any means hurt you. I'm going to read that again. The enemy, nothing, when I stay under authority, nothing shall hurt me. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in the spirit that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Let's pray. Lord, I'm asking you to be with us. God, I'm praying that you clarify, God, the spirit of confusion. I just bind that and command you. And God, I pray that you will speak to us clearly by the Father. Help us to understand. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if this is your first time here in a while, where have you been? You pagan. I'm kidding. Now, this is here. This is part of a series called Unshakable. All right? Unshakable. We went back and stood on things because everything that can be shaken is being shaken. Alright? And we got to stand on things that are unshakable. The authority of God Almighty is unshakable. I want to be under authority. Now, we started last week talking about authority. We're going to talk about this week. I'm going to finish up next week. Okay? But here's what it says. Authority, remember last week we talked, it's power, it's dominion, it's jurisdiction, right? Like a Picayune police officer does not have the jurisdiction to go to New Orleans and arrest people. He doesn't have a right to do that. Okay? But he has every right to do that here. This is, he has been given authority. You see how it works. You with me? And you gotta stay with me. I'm gonna preach as long as it takes to get this through. You have to report. Okay? So pay attention. Spirit world operates on authority.
When I was growing up, church I grew up, they decided that the Holy Spirit and all his gifts were passed away. First of all, I didn't know we get to pick and choose which verses don't count anymore. I didn't know how we got that right. Who gets to pick and choose? Let me just say, all of the spirit world, angels, demons, God himself operates on authority. I'm going to say it again. Operates on authority. Now God is all authority. God Almighty is all authority, but the spirit world operates, and in this world, it reacts to what's going on in the spirit world. I'm not battling against people. I'm battling against spirits that are controlling their people. I'm battling against things that are going on. There are spirits over cities, and the Lord has it all, but he has given certain parts of authority. Did he not at the beginning, give authority to who? Adam and Eve. Did it have dominion? Then what they do? Turn around and gave it to Satan. That's where he got his authority. Now understand that the Lord has all authority, but he has given to us. I want you to understand that the spirit world, first of all, let me just stop right here. If you are not saved, if you have never given your heart to Jesus, I don't care what kind of good person you are or whatever, if you have never given your heart to Jesus, surrendered to God, you are already under Satan's authority. The Bible says you're condemned already. I mean, you know, before you walk, we were all born into sin. Remember that? A few weeks ago, we were all needing a Savior. Alright, you're already under, you're not going to be good enough. Okay, you need Jesus. But for the Christian, and I want you to hear this, parents, hear this. You have been given a certain measure of authority by the one who has all authority. You have been given, and the spirit world responds. Now here's the first thing I want you to get today. The spirit world does not know where it does not have permission. I won't say that again. My wife said that's right. Did you say that's right? Marcy, thank you. I know my wife says amen, so I have two. The spirit world operates on permission. I can't, for the Christian, if you know, I know this by God, read your Bible. But for the Christian, I am under the authority of Almighty God. And so, the only way, there's two ways Satan can get at me. Two ways. We're going to talk a lot about this next week, about your mind, your emotions, and your body, your flesh. We're going to talk about that. But there's two ways. First of all, there's two ways you can open the door to get permission. You understand what I mean by permission? I don't have a right to go in your house. Dang, I can't just walk in your house. Why? Because it's his house. But if Daniel says, come on in, I walk on in. I now have permission. An open door has been given to me. Are you understanding? The first one is God. God, I know this is just going to mess some of you, you charismatic prosperity gospel. Woo! God gives permission sometimes for Satan to mess with you. Job, Peter, even Jesus. Jesus said, Lord, if that's there another way we can fix this problem. No. And then Pilate beat him and all that. He said, don't you know I have authority? He beat him and about to crucify. Don't you know I have authority to let you go? He said, you ain't got no authority. but that which is given to you by my Father. In other words, if the Lord opens his door. Now, if the Lord opens his door, if the Lord opens his door to Satan tempt us, to challenge us, he wants us to grow in his grace. His grace is going to be there. His strength is going to be there. His ability to overcome is going to be there. If the Lord opens up his teachers to lesson, kind of like the football coach said, get down here. And he picks somebody to get in front of you. You never know what you can do until you get somebody that's better bent on not letting you do it. You don't know how to trust until you got to trust. That's a dangerism. You don't know how to trust, how to fight until you got to fight. And sometimes God says, okay, I want you to grow up a little bit. I want you to grow up a little bit. And God gives us the grace and the strength. I remember Amy every day when we had all them kids and we were trying to stop it. It didn't even slow down. Just every day she would say, God, your grace is sufficient for you. I mean, even our doctor, who I'm not even sure would say, he said, I don't know. God just don't have babies. That's all I can do. And she would say, my grace is sufficient. In my weakness, you're strong. He said, could it be that God's waiting for you to wake up, face the devil in your life and slap him instead of cry and beg God to take him away when God's the one that opened the door for him to come in? I don't know. That's why you better ask the Lord. Second person that can open the door is you. You can open the door for Satan to mess with you. By your bad choices, by your words, by what you do, how you live, by the words that you speak over things, over yourself, over your children. I told you last week that I told you about that man for 15 years. He told me, he said that, he was a Christian. But he said, you know, my grandpa died at 52, my dad died at 51. I figured I got about 10 more years. He died at 52. Because he gave the demons permission. We open the door. When we do it, we give them a right to come and do what they said. Now listen, let me just say something to you about, although most of us, and look, you gotta follow me today now. I'm just laying groundwork, and then next week, but I can't do it all in one day, or you all fall asleep and start walking out, so we had to divide it up. Do you understand that there is permission? Demons tempt us. That is the temptation of Christ. What was Satan trying to get him to do? Is eating bread sin? No. He was trying to get him to give him his authority. Just like he's trying to get you to give him in your authority over yourself, over your mind, over your home, over your children. He's trying to get you to give it to them. And the way we do it is through our mouths. We open the door. We confess things. And it always turns small. You know, I know this is bad, especially with my wife here. I don't want to share this illustration. But we watch too many horror movies. We think Satan is like this Chucky guy, stay outside, No. He's smart. He always comes in. You know, remember that old country song by that lady? Somebody's knocking. Would you look at him? Lord, it's the devil. And he said, I heard about him, but I never dreamed he'd have blue eyes and blue jeans. Trying to get you to open the door. I read about this lady. but didn't like her husband. I mean, didn't like him a lot. And so she decided to kill him. And so here's what happened. She started, he loved brownies. And that's why I hesitated to give him this idea. Because this could happen. I like brownies too. She started putting a little arsenic in the brownies. And it got, over a period of time, he started getting weaker and tired. Oh, and the doctors couldn't find nothing wrong with him. And she just was patient. But then, you know, that's exactly what Satan's doing, has done. How many Christians do you know that were fired up with God at one time down? We don't even know where they are. Because we gave Satan our authority over ourselves. Couple things I want you to understand, okay, and I'm gonna hit this hard. Alright? And I need you to get it. First of all, authority is always given. There's only one who has all authority. It is God Almighty. And I thank God, I worship Him, how great is our God. He is. I remind Satan of that when he comes in like a flood. I say, dude, you ain't nothing. One day I'm going to laugh at you because my God is God. Amen. Amen. Just say amen. Just for the
amen.
Do you understand that authority is given? Satan was trying to, as the temptation of Christ, was trying to get Jesus to give him authority. Authority given means when I give authority, it has a right to be there. Now this is important. You got to get this and translate it spiritually. When I start giving Satan rights and authority, he can stay there. Because he's been given authority to be there. One of my favorite stories about being given authority. I have a friend that's extremely wealthy, has done well in his business. And he's wealthy. I mean, not like wealthy like you think around here. You know, not picking Mississippi wealthy. I'm talking about big wealth. And he, yeah, he'll be this. And then he lives in this neighborhood called Vaquero. And Vaquero is over in South Lake. And the walls around Vaquero are about that high. And they're like made of this cedar plank. I mean, that's probably $5 million in the fence. I mean, I couldn't afford to build. I mean, not like gated communities around here. You ain't getting in. They got armed guards. You ain't getting in. Period. You can't come in there and go, they got to go to Warren's or anything. Hey, I'm going to see. Oh, come on in. No. They got people that got a gate that big. Well, he called and he said, we're on vacation. Mike is about 17, 16, something like that. So all the boys, seven of us are going to play golf. We got a golf course in there. I'll just tell you how rich this place is. The Jonas Brothers live there in that neighborhood. Alright. So we go, if you don't know who Jonas Brothers is, you old. Anyway, so he comes and says, look, man, bring your boys, bring your wife, bring them all, and we're going to play golf. He lives there. He's got a big mansion. I mean, one of two-decker swimming pools, you know, waterfalls, that's his house. I mean, I can't even afford to build his pool. But I got my 15-passenger van. All 11 boys in it. No, just 10, man. And because we had so much luggage, we had a U-Haul. So I got a 15-passenger Ford van coming up into a place that I have no business being. I drive a first-of-all car in front of me, getting in is a Bentley. And so all the boys start going, oh, God, Dad, look at me. We start, I mean, cobblestone roads, oh my God, look at it. I drive up, man, oh, hey, oh, You must be Mr. Hickey. Man told him I was coming. I said, well, as a matter of fact, I am. Yeah, right. I said, see, boys? And the boys, after we got my hair placed in the clubhouse, you know, the clubhouse is a big fine thing on the hill. You drive up in, and the little boys come out and they open the door, grab your clubs, and, you know, that, all that. The boys start saying, Dad, don't drive up there, man. Don't do it. They were just mad and screaming out of there. And look, all the ladies was out of our U-Haul. There was only golf clubs in there. So that cow was like, this is right on the line. Come out. You're like, that is awesome. I mean, I've got to know, man. You've got to know. You got to get the experience. I mean, we drive over here. I mean, there are cars, I don't even know what they are. Alfa Romanos or what is it? I don't even know what it is. I pull right up to the front door, and about five of the little boys come out. Yes, sir, Mr. Hickey, we help you. He's like, yeah, but there they are. I mean, right there. They take care of the club, those 20 clubs right there. Oh, yes, sir. And started whacking them off and took them to the car. He had to carry. We go to the back patio, and we're looking at the guy that just sold Papa John's pizza. He has a 23,000 square foot house across the lake. We're all looking, all the boys. Oh, I mean, millions of dollars just to be there. And I make $40,000 a year. I'm up in a monster. We looked and he said, how? Where's Nate? I don't know. I thought you was watching. You know that parent thing. No, you're supposed to be watching. And we look over there, because we walk through the restaurant, we look over there, and Nathan just crawled up in at a table with these three grown adults, and he's eating their chips and salt. And Abby looks at me and went, oh my God! Go get him! See, I was here with him, but oh my God! I said, baby, we got it. So we had got walked over to him and I said, hey, man, we got boys. It was the Jonas Brothers' parents and their manager. I went, all right. We played at the turn. They had people standing around in the back of the room with moist towelettes. I had to threaten the boys with a whoop on the golf course. We went by, and they had one of these little houses with everything, every snack, every drink you want. You know, the expensive golf courses, it's all free. And they said, I told them, it's free, y'all get stuff. And so we go with passion and fire. Speak in that guy. I said, Paul, it ain't all you can eat. Oh, he said it was free. I said, yeah, it's free. You know why we enjoyed all that? Because somebody gave us permission. Authority works. It works on permission. Now here's my question. Here's my question to you. Are you given authority to save in your life? Or are you using God's authority given to you in your home, in your life, in your mind, at your work, in your finances? Please hear me. Doing nothing, ignorance is not an excuse. Doing nothing is giving him your thought. I know people who are parents that the children are in charge of their home. Giving them authority, and they're not supposed to act. And that's why it's chaos. We give it authority. Authority was always meant to be given. It was given to us. Who is? Satan. Listen, if you give Satan an open door through your mouth, through your actions. I mean, listen, why does God, do you think God really wants to control your life like the other side said? Oh, be Christian, controlling, can't handle plumbing. I miss that lesson because we, man, I ain't got a lot of that. As she gets older, she's getting a lot more feisty. It's getting a little out of hand. But that's another sermon. But here's what I'm saying. Look at it. Please hear me. I'm trying to help you. Why would God tell you don't sin? Don't do. And I'm just dealing with this low level. This is low fruit here. He tells us that as a Christian because when you do that, you give permission for Satan to do this, to come in. And Satan does what he does. He steal, kill, and destroy. When you're not honest in your business, he will kill your business. He'll steal from you because you give him permission. Please hear that. The way I hear parents all the time say, man, you're bad. You're just like you're going to be just like him. They are the authority. They are giving Satan permission to mess with that kid because he didn't have it until you gave it. Authority always works on permission. Let me just say it to y'all. I had been dealing with demons for a while and some of my friends. We were at a youth camp one time. There was this 14-year-old girl. And if this scares you and you don't believe in this stuff, good God, you're already defeated. You are. I love Americans. Because we think we're God. It's so funny. We think God listens to us. We think God's Southern. It's hilarious. See, the problem most of us don't have any authority in the spirit world is because we've made a God in our own image. How we think we should be. God says, don't go over there. You go over there, the cliff's going to fall off. Well, then we walk over there, the cliff falls off, then we get mad at God. By the neck. How's that good? This girl, 14-year-old girl, started manifesting. A demon, she was 90 pounds. She called deep for God and just laughing at her. And we had me and Mark Joe and Richard and Sandra and several other ladies that are well, this ain't not putting our first load in. And just laughing. We prayed for about an hour. It was just as belligerent as it was the first day. Finally, she had a lucid moment. This is a girl grew up in church. You know? This ain't no homeless girl. She grew up in church, part of youth group. It's the power of God. Praise and worship got so intense she couldn't handle it. And here's what she said. We said, look, you got to help us because we understand authority. You got to not want this thing. You got to tell this thing to leave and we'll agree with you. And here's what she said. She said, look, I don't know if I'm willing to leave or not, because he's my friend. Here's what, look at me, parents, hear me. you let in. She started studying Native Indian culture and started studying Native Indian chants and started giving up and a demon visited her in her room. And at that point, we just backed off because she had given total permission. We couldn't do it. Does that make sense? What are you giving permission to? Are you giving the Holy Spirit full reign? Or have you got an area over here? Because Satan, look at it. Satan won't stay in one place. You give him part. Well, we're going to be good here, 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 but then this area over here. Oh, brother, you know, I got to have my vices. And I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about battling things. You give him that area, he will not stay there because you've given him permission to come in your house. Does that make sense? Authority is given. Second thing I want you to walk away today, and we fix to do this, is that you must stay under authority. You only know authority and recognize authority when you're under authority. Jesus, I wanted to say this because this is so big. I hear this all the time. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. You must learn to submit to earthly authority. What am I saying? Bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh. Let me stop right here and tell you. Slavery is absolutely wrong and terrible, and it has been righted. But he's saying, wherever you find yourself, bond servant, be obedient to the masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart, as to who? Christ. So many of you complain about your boss, and you're always looking for something else. Maybe God has you there to teach you and train you. If you don't think he'll do that, you haven't read your Bible. What about Joseph? Look what he said. Not with eye service, man pleaser, but as a bondservant of Christ. You know what that means right there? By eye service, when the boss is looking, we work hard, and then the rest of the town, we screw around. Don't know why I shot him down. Man, please, but as a bondservant of Christ, do the will of God from the heart. Do your best, whatever you find your hands to do. With goodwill doing service, as to who? The Lord. Some of you are giving Satan permission to steal from you because you're rebelling against the authority over you. And he said, do it as unto the Lord. Look what happens when you do. Look at the promise. Doing good service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether slave or free. God in an instant can make you go from the jailhouse to the penthouse in a heartbeat. What he did with Joseph, didn't it? But the act here is submission. Now, I'm not talking about being a man pleaser, a yes man. I'm not talking about agreeing with everything. I'm talking about living a life. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Therefore, I exhort you from all that supplication, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men. Look at it. Look at it. For kings and all who are in authority over you, that you may lead a quiet and peaceful life. Let me ask you, I'm not asking you who you vote for. I don't want to know. Okay? Yeah. I'm just throwing out possibly. If I have a remotely right. You notice that our president started out the election, sitting moderate things. You notice that? And over the last few months, he has lurched into a lot of things that I would consider not biblical, not Christian. I'll just say, don't be too. A lot of you learn when you're quiet because you know it's a trap question. If I'm made in the image of God, I have authority. I wonder if the Christian church, when he got elected, would have started praying for him like we're commanded to do in the scripture, if he was not going to let him. But all we've done is curse him without mind. If the spirit world works on that, who's giving permission for him to go left? You see what I'm saying? We're cursing our school system. Every time we try, oh, that ain't no good. That, instead of saying, God, I pray you bless me to do this. I pray that you will do this. I pray that you become a place. My wife, listen, my wife did this. She would do this quicker than I would. When the boys would say, how do you know the teenagers say stuff? I mean, teenagers just, half the time I think they know they saying it just to get a rise out of it. You know, half the time. But sometimes they'll say something with some spiritual significance that is dead wrong, and boy, Abby will pop up and go, no. We got to let that happen. That's the devil right there. You ain't get my kid. No, you ain't confessed. Don't you dare confess that. You know, well, and I say, that's refusing to let Satan have an open door. I've got to stay submitted to a God. Who are you submitting to? Well, I don't need nobody. Wow. Seems like I read the Bible and said we do. When we understand submission. Let me just give this to you. Well, what if they ask me to do something ungodly? Well, then you revert back to the authority. But you got to be submitted to the authority. Don't just pull that card when you want to. Like your Southern male. It's amazing. That every Southern male knows one Bible. This absolutely blows my mind. They walk up to me, ain't never been to church, been a drunk all their lives, look at me and say, hey, preacher, tell her about that wives commit stuff. See, look at me. Authority only works when you're submitted to it. Do you hear what I just said? You will not wield authority to the devil. Demons will look at you and go, Jesus, we know, all we know that we're you. Unless you're submitted to authority. Jesus in John chapter 19. I just want to say this. The beginning of submission, first of all, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Fear is honor, respect, reverence. Treat with deference, submission. God, you are Lord of my life. You're Lord of my money. I want to just say that because that's important to a lot. You're Lord of my money. If you're not tithing, he's not Lord. Now we're blessed, man. We are so blessed right here. But look, man, I'm just trying to help you. If you're doing your business dealings in a shady way, you're not going to be blessed. You're not going to have authority. And you're giving authority to Satan to come in. What Satan does, steal, kill, and destroy. And we're going to talk about the three areas he does that next week. But staying under authority, if he is first, even in hard times, it's easy to be spiritual. It ain't easy to be spiritual when everything's great. You feel the Holy Ghost everywhere. It's awesome. But it's hard to say, Lord, I trust you when your husband just died. Unexpected. Like Jane had to walk through, she had to decide, Lord, I praise you in the good times. I praise you when you brought him. I praise you when you were in the I see that, so you've got to be submitted. But submission brings three things. Submission to authority. See, when your life is submitted to the Lord, you have peace. Let me tell you, I'm going to say something. I ain't going to die. Now, let's not rebel and get stupid and walk away from the Lord, which I ain't planning on. Okay? Huh? Amen. Say amen to that. All right. I ain't going to listen. So what? I'm not dying until God says it's time. If I die with corona, it's time. If I walk out of here, it's time. I have peace. Jesus looked at Pilate and said, you ain't got nothing over me. Does that mean I walk out and kiss people with corona? No. I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want none of that. But I got peace. Second thing, when you stay in a submitted, no matter what comes, I can have peace. Jesus slept in the middle of the storm when they thought the boat, these were fishermen, and they said the boat was about to, we about to die. These weren't novice sailing men. They were fishing. Don't you care? I mean, Jesus was asleep. I wish Christians would get this. When you're under authority, that means nothing's going to get to me that God doesn't know about. Yeah. And then if he knows about it, he'll give me the grace to walk. Man. Like I told that lady playing, I just told her. God had told me several things I'm going to do before I die. And then when we were in bad turbulence, this lady had never flown before. And she, you know, you've been in bad turbulence, you know. I mean, the weight for the stewardess is strapped in. And she went, oh, God. I said, little lady, I said, just stay. And she was in there. I didn't realize what I said. Just hang on. Stay close to me. Because even when we crash, I'm going to live. Because I hadn't finished these things the Lord told me I was supposed to do. And so I'm going to make it. I don't know about the rest of them, but I'm going to make it. So just hang close to me. I was kind of joking now, but I really believe that. Just hang close to me, I'm going to make it. Well, buddy, it was an elderly lady, and buddy, she clapped over my arm. I didn't know. I mean, she was digging everything up in. I said, see, I come from your way. I'm like, you can't get without me. It gives me strength to hit, heal, to save, to rebuke, to bring change in my being. It gives me strength. We are called to overcome impossible things, like addiction. We're called to overcome those things. That's why I don't like the 12-step program. I mean, I like it, but I don't like it. Don't tell it. Hey, I'm out of heat, I'm out of home. Way to make a sin, you're better know. No, I'm out of hate. I was an outlaw, but Jesus set me free. I ain't giving no more place to that. Last thing it does, it gives you blessing. Because you see, when you stay in authority, when you stay under authority, I can expect to be blessed. I'm going to do my best for those I am submitted to. Look, when my dad was in charge, I was not a yes man. Because me and him had two different views on most everything. But when I walked out of that room, I expressed my views. I walked out of the room, you never heard me say anything negative against him. Not one pastor. I tried to make sure he was blessed. I did my best because I want to be submitted to authority because I don't have one. Does that make sense? You see what I'm saying? Now, here's my question. We're fixing to pray. I know it's 12. Y'all eat a million lunches. It ain't gonna be that good. But right now, we could. Something good could happen. Because you know what? Listen, I am the authority of this church given to me by God. I mean, I ain't say the whole authority. I don't want to control your life. I got too much control of my own shit. Keeping my wife alive. I can't keep her alive. Look at it. What I'm saying, let's just dream. Throw caution to the wind. What I'm saying is true. I am the authority in this house. And I'm saying, the Holy Spirit, come and do your stuff. Come and heal. Come and touch. I'm going to have a prayer team come up in just a second. And if you need healing, or if you need touch, or if you need something, you agree is when you say, you get up and come down. That means two authorities are coming into agreement. You're the authority of you. I'm the authority of you. And we're all saying, Holy Spirit, come. Because look at me. Either Jesus is here or he's alive. But two or more are gathered in my hand, I will be there. Yeah. So that means right here in this room is the potential. Greatness. Heal. Miracle. Broken heart. Salvation. People being set free. Wow. If we just submit ourselves.